Our scripture reading tonight is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and we will read from verse 36. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. They gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she hath loved much, but to him little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. And we know God will bless this precious portion of his word to all of our hearts. We'll seek the help of the Lord as we come to his word this evening in prayer. And Lord, we thank thee, it's old but ever new. We thank thee, Lord, there's a freshness about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, it's as needful as ever it was. And there's still the only way of salvation, and that's through faith in Christ alone. Lord, we thank thee that we still live in a country where the word of God can be proclaimed freely. And Lord, we thank thee we can meet in such surroundings tonight in comfort. And Lord, with the beautiful music. And now, Lord, we come to thy word. O God, help us to exalt Christ tonight. He's the only one who can do sinners good. He's the only one that sinners need. And Lord, we pray that thou will come by thy Spirit, that I might know that infilling, that anointing of the Holy Ghost, that the word of God will go forth with power, and you'll grant to each one that hearing ear and the understanding heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My text is found in verse 49 of Luke chapter 7. And it's that little phrase, Who is this? Simon was a Pharisee, a strict religionist, and one who was more concerned with outward religion than he was with inward spirituality. You see, he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees, they looked to have the preeminence. They were the people. and they were looked up to. But the Lord Jesus Christ saw through many of them that all their religion was hypocrisy. Surprising, therefore, that this man invited the Lord Jesus Christ to have a meal at his home. Now, we don't know what his motive was for giving this invitation. We don't know what that motive was, but we know of a certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ welcomed it and accepted it. Now, during the meal, and while they were gathered together, there was an uninvited guest who made her way in, and she stood behind the Savior. She was evidently in great distress because she was weeping sorely. And as her tears dropped, they fell on the Savior's feet, and she wiped his feet with her hairs of her head. And then she opened a box of precious ointment and anointed the feet of the Savior. Now, when Simon the Pharisee saw this, his heart was filled with revulsion and hardness at the thought of what was happening. Surely this man knows who this woman is. She's infamous in the area. She's a harlot. She's a prostitute. Surely if he knew that, he wouldn't let her touch him. But you see, I want you to listen to this. Jesus did know all about that woman. And moreover, he also knew all about Simon. And what this proud Pharisee was thinking was, and so he told what he was thinking, the Lord Jesus Christ read his thoughts. And he told a parable about a person owing 500 pence and the other 50. And when neither of them had anything to pay, they were cleared of their debt. They didn't have to pay anything. And the Lord asked the question to Simon, who showed the greater love? He, of course, was pricked in his conscience. He couldn't answer anything else. I suppose the one that owed 500 pence. And turning to the woman, and in the presence of all the guests at the meal, Jesus said in verse 48, to this woman, thy sins are forgiven. And so through faith, she was saved. This woman wasn't saved by her good works. She wasn't saved because she wept and anointed the Savior and wiped his feet with her hair. But she trusted in Christ as her Savior. That's why Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven. There's no one that is saved by works. Because we're reminded in Isaiah 64 that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And that's what he says about our best things. Filthy rags. You know, that's a description of the rags that would be wrapped around the leper's arms when they were sore and when they were festering. And you know, that's what God thinks of the works of men, their very best. It will not count with God with regard to salvation. But this woman trusted in Christ as her Savior, and then her works followed. When those that were present heard Jesus say, thy sins are forgiven, they began to ask, who is this? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, you know, that the Lord had been moving among them and preaching and teaching and working miracles, and they were still asking, who is this? Well, I want to answer that question tonight. Who is this that can say, thy sins are forgiven, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace? Because this man is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was as he was in those days, he's still the same today. And he's still in the same soul-saving business. And the first thing we could say about who is this is the one who knows all there is to know about us, and he loves us just the same. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he's almighty. And he's also omniscient. That is, he knows all things. In Hebrews 4 and 13, the author says, the eyes of him that is God, with whom we have to do. With him we have to do. Men and women tonight, you don't have to deal with a church or a denomination. The one you have to do with tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. And the Bible says in Proverbs 15 and 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. His eyes are in every place. And that means tonight that the Lord sees and he knows everything that's going on in this world by all his creatures. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And whether we believe it or not, each one of us can say with Hagar of old, thou God seest me. And friend, tonight God sees you and he sees me and he knows what we're thinking, as we shall see. You see, verse 39, it says, Simon said to himself, this woman is a sinner. Now, he didn't say it out. He thought it in his heart. But you see, the Lord's omniscient. He knew what he was thinking. And he said to Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He was giving him his answer. He knew what he was saying. And friend, he knows your thoughts just now. He knows what you're thinking about this meeting. And maybe you're thinking tonight what you're going to do when you go out of the meeting. Or maybe he knows all about it. Whether you're listening or whether you're just passing the time, he knows all about it. Simon spoke within himself, but the Lord heard it. And the Lord knows all things. Jesus knew all that was going on in his heart and mind, as well as what's going on in the heart of this woman. He read her heart, and he reads hearts tonight. See, man looketh in the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart. And I wouldn't know who's saved in the meeting. Well, I know some people are saved. I'm not familiar with the people of Lurgan Free Church. I know there's those that are saved. But I couldn't say tonight, that man's saved, that woman's saved, or that person's not saved. I don't know. But there's one person who does know, and that's the Lord. And how different were these two people in their attitudes to the Lord? Simon was a self-righteous Pharisee. The other was a woman of the streets. And they differed from each other in five ways, different socially. In all probability, the Pharisee lived on the outskirts of the city in the most affluent residential area. Well, that's where a Pharisee would live. He wouldn't be living in the poor side of town. The other, well, she would live in the place which would perhaps be the red light district. That's where she came from. They differed morally. One outwardly decent, the other a prostitute. Financially, one would be well to do in a material sense, and the other so poor that she sold her body to get a living. Religiously, one very religious, a Pharisee, and the other probably irreligious. But you see, religion doesn't save us. People say that Northern Ireland's one of the most religious places in the world. That's true. That's true, but it's not. Religion doesn't save anybody. There's plenty of people who've been at church today and at church tonight, and you know, they're as far away as this woman was from God's salvation. Emotionally, one was cold, calculating, and hard. The other was warm, tender-hearted, and in the presence of many people, she wept and kiss the feet of Jesus. That would take some doing, wouldn't it? That would take some doing. They were totally different. Different as chalk and cheese. And yet they're exactly the same, if you get my drift, because they were both sinners. They were both sinners. Simon was very religious. He'd have known the law. He'd have known it inside out. The other lady, she probably didn't know the law. But they were both sinners. And that's why the Lord told that parable. And of course, when you think of the one who owned the 500 pence, that was the lady. The other who owed the 50 pence was the Pharisee. But they were both sinners. And that's how God sees us tonight. God's not interested in how big our bank balance is. God's not interested in how big a car we own or a house we live in or anything else. God just sees men tonight in this meeting of women as either saved or unsaved. And this parable illustrates the fact that in God's sight, both Simon and the woman were sinners, and therefore they were exactly the same in the sight of God. It's true that Simon was the 50p sinner and the lady was the 500p sinner. But as Paul said in Romans 3 and 22-23, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're saying to me tonight, preacher, does it not matter how we live? It does matter how we live. I'd be glad if people don't go around stealing and lying and murdering and killing. That's good. That's what we ought to do. But as far as getting into heaven, it cuts no ice with God. It doesn't, because there's the sin question. And the woman on the street and the religious Pharisee, they were both sinners. They were both sinners. James tells us in 2 and 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And if I could live my life and keep all the law of God except one point, then I'll be damned. Because God sees that as breaking all the commandments. But of course, you and I know a sinner doesn't get past the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's nobody gets past that one. In God's sight, Simon was as guilty and in need as this woman. Certainly this woman lived a sordid and humble life and a horrible life. And every such person needs the Savior. And the Lord can save to the very uttermost. And sometimes, you know, when I think of that, to the very uttermost, can save completely, but he can save from the guttermost. That's what I love about the gospel. It's no respecter of persons. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Lord knows all about us. And he loves us just the same. And I believe the Lord loved Simon. He hated his hypocrisy and all that was about him. But he loved his soul. And he loved this woman's soul, no matter how deep down in sin she might be. And you know, that's what the Bible tells us, that God is love. Now, I'm not saying God nods and winks at sin. He doesn't. He wouldn't be God if he didn't judge sin. But he loves the souls of men and women. God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. And some of us really don't like to talk about the past. Who is this? He's the one who knows all about us, and he loves us just the same. I love that tonight. And friend, if God didn't love your soul, you would have no earned of coming to a meeting to hear the gospel. But the Lord so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he so loved the world, a world of sinners, a world of all kinds of sinners, from all different backgrounds and upbringings. He loves them. We could say, who is he? He's the one who alone can forgive our sins and give us the assurance of salvation. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, he the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. It was at this point, when it addressed Simon the Pharisee with the parable, that he turned to this woman and he said, your sins are forgiven thee. And that's when those people said, who is this that forgiveth sins? Can you imagine the feeling in this sinful woman's heart when she heard the Lord announce that her sins were forgiven? I know how I felt the night that I knew my sins were forgiven. I remember going into a cottage meeting where there was an evangelist, and he was the people giving testimonies and all the rest, and it came to me to give him a testimony, and I wished the ground had opened up and swallowed me, for I had no testimony. I wasn't saved. I made some I told him I think I went to church and all that, and you know the usual things. But I knew that night when I came to Christ and I left that home that my sins were forgiven and the burden of sin had rolled away. And I'm sure that woman, when she heard those words, the burden just lifted away. She was righteous in God's sight. She was forgiven, though her sins were many and so red, they were forgiven. And she had that sense of release and gratitude. Brothers, isn't that how you felt the night you got saved? That sense of release and relief that you were right in the sight of God. And yet there are millions of people tonight who are bearing the weight of their unforgiven sin. And they need not do so. And I think of people, you know, I think of people who come to our congregations, and we love to see them coming. Don't get me wrong. And we love to see people come into the church. But you know, when they sit and they sit and they sit and they walk out the way they come in, you know, that must grieve the heart of the Savior. They've no need to. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Tell me, do you know the sense of release from your burden of sin? Are you still burdened down? Have you that guilty conscience? You can be forgiven. The Lord is willing to forgive if you would come. God's word makes it perfectly clear that you need to be forgiven. And that's what the Lord was getting through to Simon. Simon, you're so religious and you're so self-righteous and you're missing the point. You're a sinner and you need to be saved and you need your sins forgiven. This woman lived a horrible life, but she has come in repentance and confessed it. And she has her sins forgiven. And you know, it's folly for people when they know that others have been forgiven and yet they still carry their burden of their sin. I remember one night preaching in our Portavogie congregation. It's a long time ago. And I preached on that text, Ecclesiastes 3 and 15. God requireth that which is past. God requireth that which is past. And maybe someone is saying here tonight, well, you know, I think I'll reform my life. I think I'll turn over a new leaf and I'll live the best that I can. That sounds good, but your best will never be enough. But even if it was, God requires that which is past. And that young man, he waited behind that night and he got saved because God, that text was for him. God requires that which is past. That's the purpose of why Christ came into the world, to save sinners. But you see, there's people like Simon, they don't see themselves as need of salvation. They're doing all right, thank you. They're as good as anybody else. You see him down the road, and he's a Christian. He goes to church carrying his Bible. He's a hypocrite. That may be so. That may be so, but it doesn't excuse you. But yet the Lord's love is for sinners. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Can you imagine that? This is Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he's saying to vile sinners, let's sit down and discuss this. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, deep dyed, though they should be red, or they red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Forgiveness with the Lord. It's willing to talk. It's willing to show us our need of salvation. Matthew 1 and 21, the angel told Joseph about the baby that Mary was going to deliver of. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That was the purpose. Simon missed the whole purpose. He didn't even know the Lord. Didn't know him. And he didn't know the purpose that Christ came into the world for. Christ is the only one who can forgive sins. And three reasons. The Lord is the offended party. Now, you and I can sin against each other, but ultimately all sin is against God. That's what David said in Psalm 51. "Against thee, O God, I have sinned." All sin is against God. He's the offended party. And therefore, if we're to receive forgiveness, we must receive it from him. The second reason is he has died to provide forgiveness. And Mrs. Alexander had it well when she wrote the words, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood." That was the purpose. And there's no other one can do that. No church can save. Free Presbyterian Church can't save. You could attend the Free Church for a lifetime and still go to a lost eternity. Only Christ can save. That's what Peter said to the Sanhedrin in Acts 4 and 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." No one else. And Simon was missing the point, and he was missing God's salvation because he thought he was good enough. And this woman did not deserve forgiveness of sins. He is alive now, and he is waiting to pardon the whosoever will. That's what the meaning of Hebrews 7 and 25. "Wherefore he is able to save also to them, to the uttermost, that come unto God by him," that is by Christ, "seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Isn't that a tremendous thought tonight? That there's one in the glory, a great high priest, who continually remembers the people of God. He's our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he alone can save, and he alone can keep. And whom he receives, he never casts out. "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." I believe in eternal security for the child of God. You can't be saved and unsaved. It can't happen. Can't happen. You can make a false profession, but you can't lose your salvation. That's God's word. "I give unto my sheep eternal life." And the moment that woman believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, she was brought into his family and fold, and she never ever was going to be anywhere else. He's the one that knows all about us and loves us just the same. He is the one who alone can save us and forgive us our sins. He's the only one who saves us and gives us his peace the moment we believe in him. Notice verse 50. And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." That's the first product of God's salvation, is peace. The last word that the Lord left the disciples before he left, before his crucifixion, was, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace. Remember, after the resurrection, the disciples were met in the upper room for fear of the Jews. And the first words the Lord spoke to them was, "Peace be unto you." And the moment you trust in Christ, that peace with God is yours. And you know it. You know the rebellion is broken down. The enmity is broken down. You're at one with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps someone here saying tonight, "I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. I want to enjoy that peace with God. What must I do?" Well, you must believe. This woman was not saved by works. She was saved by faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and not in yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So she was saved by faith. It's the only way anybody will be saved. Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But we have to remember tonight that the gospel invitation is not always open. It's not always open. And you know, people sit and they sit and desist, and sometime they'll miss out with God. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that been often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." He that been often reproved, spoken to, convicted of sin, and turns away and rejects the offer of God's mercy, it says, suddenly shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's an awful thing. And I believe in life that people can say to know to Christ for the last time. And it wouldn't matter how hot the gospel preaching would be. They're past it. "My spirit," God said, "shall not always strive with man. And he may bear long, and he may bear patiently, but sometimes there comes an end of the patience of God." And what a terrible thing for someone to be lost, that sat in a Free Presbyterian church or any gospel preaching church and was lost and went to hell. You know, that hell is going to be worse than the heathen that's never heard the gospel. That never heard the gospel. And you've heard it time without number. And the Lord loves you tonight. And people often say about people in hell, well, there'll never ever be anybody in hell that shouldn't be there. Not one. There'll not be anybody in hell that shouldn't be there. And there'll not be anybody in heaven that shouldn't be there. I remember hearing the story of this group of Christians, and they were going on a boat outing, and they met up at the harbor, and they got on the boat, and this man came running, and he just got on the boat at the nick of time before it loosed its moorings. And then he heard this singing. It was strange. It was hymns. And they were singing. And he was the most miserable person there. You see, he'd got on the wrong boat. He was going out for a trip with the boys for the day, and it was going to be a party, parties and drinking, all the rest. But he got on the wrong boat, and he was in among a lot of Christians, and he was the most miserable person. And you see, if it were possible, and it's not, but if it were possible for somebody unsaved to get into heaven, they'd be the most miserable person there. They wouldn't enjoy it because it's not their environment. They haven't been made a child of God. They haven't been born again. But nobody ever will be in heaven that shouldn't be there. Nobody will ever be in hell that shouldn't be there. And friend, you have a judgment tonight. You have a decision to make. Are you going to be like the Pharisee? Are you going to harden your heart? Are you going to look around about you and see, did they not know that man was a drunkard? That man was a drug addict? Well, he may well be, but he's saved. That makes the difference. Don't harden your heart tonight. Don't be pointing the finger. We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. But the Lord is willing and is able to welcome all that come unto him. This woman showed her salvation by her love for Christ and the shedding of her tears and the anointing of his feet. It didn't obtain salvation, but it was the outpouring of it. And Simon, he hardened his heart. He wouldn't have anything to do with this woman. But the Lord told her, thy sins are forgiven. Remember this, the other Pharisee and the publican went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee told the Lord what great fellow he was. Tithes, give 100 pence in the pound. Did all these good turns. It wasn't like this Pharisee or this publican. But the publican wouldn't lift as much as his eye to heaven and said, Lord, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Took his place at the cross. He took the place of repentance and faith in Christ. And Jesus said, that man went down justified. The other was talking to himself, for God wasn't listening. He wasn't listening. And the conversation that God will listen to is the broken spirit and the contrite heart. God will hear that and he'll know it. And if you come to Christ, he will save you by his grace. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Our time has gone and we're going to dispense with our closing hymn. We'll close with a word of prayer. And Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all tonight. Man looketh in the outward appearance. God sees the heart. He knows those that are saved and those that are not. He knows those who perhaps are making profession, but there's no possession. He knows those, Lord, tonight that are afar off. Lord, you know those who have never been to the cross, and we just pray you'll do that work of grace in hearts tonight. Encourage God's people. Bless this congregation. Bless the Reverend McCammon, as is the oversight of it with this session. We pray, Lord, you'll guide them to the man of thy choosing to fill the pulpit, and in this not too distant future, that they'll have the man of God's choosing. Bless them, Lord. Do undertake for them. And Lord, help sinners to Christ tonight. We pray you'll separate us in thy fear and with thy blessing upon us. Take us to your homes in safety. For Jesus' sake, amen.